All right. Mic check, mic check. That sound okay? Yeah. Microphone controller. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray really fast. God, thank you that you're for us, that you're with us, that you've been speaking to us even during worship, through worship, before worship, and that you're going to continue to work in our lives, change us to be more like you, to bring glory and honor to your Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Giver of Life, Father. We thank you for all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. I got a little bit object lesson, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. I got two different bottles of water. I got this Nestle Pure Life, and I've got this Walmart Great Value brand water. They're both water. I drink both of them. Water is good for everybody. But we're going to talk about the process of purification. So today's message is called Freedom and Fullness, A Process of Holiness, Part 2. Last week, we talked about freedom and what freedom meant in terms of independence. Independence, liberty, emancipation, manumission, all these big words that mean we are no longer shackled from the issues of sin, but we're also free to run with, be in fellowship with, and then enjoy God our Father. All right, so last week was about freedom. The overall topic for the last over a month has been about holiness. Holiness can be this big, like, nebulous, like, potentially scary term that often is like, well, it says be holy, but what's that mean? So Pastor Gomez spent a month laying a really great foundation for it, so much so that he actually kept preaching scriptures from my sermon that I got months ago going, I love you, Pastor Gomez, but you're changing my sermon, so in Jesus' name, stop hearing God and preaching my texts. For a month he was preaching on holiness. Last week I preached on holiness. I'm preaching on holiness today, but not from a standpoint of freedom, but from a part of fullness. So, when many people think of fullness who've been around the church very long, the idea of being filled or being full leads some people to one particular outcome. We'll talk about being filled with God's Spirit, being full of the Spirit of God. That's not what this message is about. As much as I affirm publicly that we are charismatic Pentecostal people who really believe that the presence of God indwells every believer for the purposes of working through them to do mighty and miraculous works, I firmly believe that God has filled us up on Pentecost as a church and after Pentecost to successful generations of people, that he actually is actively inside of us so he can show himself out in power. So whether it comes in gift, interpretation of tongues, prophecies, healings, miracles, discernment, we affirm all those things because all those things are what happens when a born-again, new heart, spilled for a person finds himself in a place of need that God uses people because we have been filled with God's presence. We are full of him. Right? I believe that. We preach that. We believe that. For those who may not know, those who need to be filled up again, those who need a fresh touch of God so they can be used of God, so that God can pour through them, you'll be a privilege and opportunity after service. But that is not this message. There's a time to pray for that. But we're talking about holiness. We've got two bottles of water here, and the water will make some sense in a matter of minutes. One is of one kind of clean, another kind of clean. They're both clean water, but one is particularly special. So, Dale, do me a favor. Please play my magical video. Osmosis. Ladies and gentlemen, osmosis is a process that you have this thing called a membrane that separates two different kinds of things. And osmosis pretty much says that water is going to travel through the membrane from one side to the other. On the left, you've got nice pure water. On the right, you've got a mix of water and salt. Osmosis says water goes from the pure water into the salty water, right? If you've ever been thirsty because you've had lots of salt from crackers or from pretzels, your body retains water because of the salt and a thing called osmosis. Pause, Dale. Okay? Osmosis is a normal process. It is what it is. It's not a bad thing. If I've got salt on one side of a membrane and fresh water on the side of the membrane, the water that's pure and clean, it has no salt, is going to travel through the membrane into the salty water to make things balance on both sides. It's natural. It's nothing. It's not high tech science. It's just basic stuff. All right. So when you're thirsty, you retain water because your body wants to hold on to get water, right? One of these bottles of water is done by osmosis, the other by what's called reverse osmosis. Reverse osmosis, go back 10 seconds, Dylan, go back 10 seconds. Reverse osmosis is the exact opposite process. Instead of water going from left to right, reverse means right to left. Somehow, water's gonna go from this less clean into the clean side. So what starts up as a little bit of water is going to turn into a lot of water. That's called reverse osmosis. If you look as Dill plays the rest of the GIF, you'll see that, hey, look, there's water going the opposite direction. The left side is becoming more and more full. Not salty, but full. This side, the right side, is growing in volume, is becoming more and more full of clean, pure water. This particular bottle of water is reverse osmosis water. It's made by a process that uses water that is not the cleanest. Pressure is produced near a membrane, and it produces a really, really pure outcome of water. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to talk about today about fullness is the process that God uses through pressure to create holiness in your life based upon the circumstances you find yourself in. Now, fullness has lots of different backgrounds of things we're going to talk about, but I want you to understand something. At the end of this message, I want you to understand the pressures of life and your situation around you are not an accident. He uses those things to push more of himself into you. It's not easy to say. It's even harder to live. It's even harder to embrace. But the pressures of life and the things that are unclean around you, the mixture that we find ourselves living in, when God's in control, he uses to produce you a fullness on the inside. But it doesn't feel good. It doesn't always look good. But it is good. Okay. So, please, scripture. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. We'll talk about a couple different things, but first is about Christ's supremacy. We've sang about Christ's supremacy. We're going to talk about God, how awesome he is, how powerful he is. But Christ, this is Colossians 1, 15. It says, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in the heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God is pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and that through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on his cross. Ladies and gentlemen, this text of scripture is one of the primary texts that talk about Christology, which means the study of who Christ actually is. So, cool things, amazing texts, but in this text I want to focus on a couple of things. One, 8 times it uses this magical word called all. You know what all means? All. Okay? So if you go look at the original language, sometimes all means everything. Sometimes all means everyone. Some things totality. But the thing is, the key word is all means all. He is the God of all. So in this text, 8 different times it says all. He doesn't stutter. Paul makes it really, really clear. In addition to the 8 times it says all, it gives 4 different clauses that explain what all really means. So in case we don't get what all means, we're going to make it extra super clear. So go back to So it says, for all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. So on the earth, right? Earth, heaven, things that are in the sky, right? Got it? Not obnoxious, but everything on this planet, where our feet sit, and every place where our birds fly, where planes fly, becomes things that all those things were created and ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Things visible and invisible. That means things that have the natural realm, right? Taste, touch, feel, all that stuff, and also the invisible realm. So both the natural realm and the spiritual realm. Goes on to say that whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all those things are titles and names for angelic and or demonic realities. So thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all sources of authority that find themselves originally should have been submitted always to God in Christ, but find themselves either rebellious in some senses, or even, it also applies to angels. So angels are considered dominions, thrones, all those things. So both whether it's a good angel or a bad demon, he still is over all. Please skip down to the second half, though. It goes on to say, he reconciled all things to himself in verse 20, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So, like, Paul's trying to get a point across. There isn't anything that exists any place for any time period that he is not the Lord of or the Lord over. Fullness means him having complete and total, utter, thorough supremacy. All right. If Christ, I wonder what Christ actually means. Is Christ Jesus his last name? Please tell me no. Please tell me that's not his last name. Jesus is his first name, Christ is his last name. Please don't tell me that. It's a title. Okay. Title means chosen one or the anointed one. He's the chosen of the Father to be the ruler and reigner of all things for all time for all people. Christ is the ultimate king. He's the final king. Last week, before we left at the end of the service, I asked the question, what area of life is Christ willing to cede to the enemy? Or what area of life does Christ not want rulership over? I think we have an obvious question, right? The other question is, there's nothing that exists on this planet or in our lives that Christ doesn't want to rule in and over. There's no area of life that Christ wants to say, I don't want to touch that. The enemy can have that. Because he is the Lord of all. So when you have total, complete, utter dominion and reign, you want everything to reflect who you are as the king. Which leads us to the concept of fullness. Paul's focus on Christ's reign and his community of the believers is an attempt to make sure they know first and foremost that the buck stops with him. When you read the second half of the verse, it talks about the reason why he has dominion over everything and in everything is because of his death on the cross. He didn't have to die to have that dominion, but he chose to die for that dominion. All this is because of grace, right? Keep it simple, saints, right? It's all about grace. Now, what's that mean for us logistically? Well, ultimately, when we think, go move forward though. Because he is who he is, he won't settle for less. Because of the word fullness and full and his supremacy, he doesn't settle. He actually expects his dominion and his reign to be seen everywhere, everything, and at all times. Now, that's a problem. If we're honest, if I'm honest, I'm not mature and full in Christ. I have my own set of issues and challenges. Some of my challenges are tied to believing that God is good when things don't look good. that sometimes I act as if God's not present when reality is he is present all the time, everywhere, all at once, in a general standpoint. But because I'm his child and I've asked him to have reign in me, over me, in my household and all that I have, that he's actively involved in everything that I touch. Not because he can't, but because he's chosen to claim everything that I have and everything that I am, it belongs to him. But when I live and walk as an orphan, as a sense, as I act like I don't have a father, when I shut down, when I get depressed, when I get despondent, and I fall into passivity, is because I must have thinking that my father has forsaken me. I haven't arrived. These are challenges that I'm working through, challenges that my wife is patiently handling and wrestling with me. But the point of the matter is, like, I'm not there yet. There's more of him that he's trying to push into me through my circumstances. My troubles aren't just going to go away. He's not going to snap his finger like Thanos and make it all go bye-bye. He actually wants the trials and the tests that life brings with his guidance and loving pressure to get more of Christ in me, so that ultimately there's more God on the inside than there is on the outside. In which case, then my response to challenges only as time goes on improves. That I have more of Christ on the inside as my water level rises, my posture changes, my attitude changes, my proclivities change, my interests change, my responses change. Not because he removed the challenges, but because he's supreme in them, over them, and through them for my good and for his glory. He chastens those he loves. It goes on to say really clearly, if you don't get chastened, that means you are not a child. Going back to last week, we talked about the issue of regret and disappointment and grief and loss. The sense that I get from the Lord is we have to deal with the things in our past and put those under the blood and be free of those things before we can walk forward and embrace the challenges before us. Unhealed wounds, things that have bound us in our past, prevent us from walking wholeheartedly with open arms embracing what God's brought to us. I believe as a process that being free of things is a very important element, and it's an essential element. But the bigger part is actually being able to embrace the reality of the challenges that are coming to us, because he's not actually going to move them. He's going to change us. That means we have to realize, I better stop praying that this goes away. I have to change how I pray. Oh God, deliver me from this trial. I keep getting no response to that prayer. David prayed it. It must be a solid prayer. Right? Smite thee, my enemies, O Lord! And my father's just going, jeez, dude, you're not getting it. He's trying to use the situations around me with his applied intentional pressure to put Christ-likeness in me. If he removes those things from me, he's actually slowing down his process of maturity inside me. And it hurts, because we think, what kind of loving father keeps this kid in this situation? Uh-oh, that's a sign of resentment, bitterness, disappointment, and grief. If you don't deal with that stuff, you won't take the challenges you find in life as opportunities of a mean, evil father exposing his kids to abuse. That's not what that is. You misinterpret his current dealings because of your previous unbelief. resolved pain, resentment, and anger. When those things are resolved, and then you realize, God, you're after something. You're after Christ-likeness in me. You're after me looking, sounding, and smelling. And I said smelling on purpose. We are the fragrance of God on the earth. We're supposed to smell like someone. He is Jesus. That only happens as we embrace the reality of what God's called into our lives, which means not deliver me from my challenges, deliver me through my challenges. And it actually hurts because I want him to go sprinkle some unicorn tears and dust and go, ooh, unicorn tears. That makes everything better. Yay, Jesus! Because I want my problems to just go away. And I wonder why things aren't changing. Because I'm praying the wrong prayer. I'm praying a prayer of deliverance when it's not a prayer of deliverance. It's a prayer of understanding. When I come back later on, I'll get a chance to talk about the rest of where this is going to go. About how God is calling through Paul's teaching to Colossians to grow in understanding. When you grow to understand what he's doing and why he's doing it, you'll stop praying prayers that ultimately are never going to be answered. Because they miss the point. He doesn't want us to suffer, but this isn't about suffering. This is about fullness being pressed into my life. Scripture. Don't go for it. Colossians 2:16 through 15 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with loving kindness. I wonder where the overflowing comes from. It's not because the situation changed. It's because something in them changed and produced a overflow of praise. See to that no one takes you deceptive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ. It's not just a fullness for him, by him alone. Because we're in relationship with him, what covenant of love. We are his people, he is our God, right? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. Like we're joined to him. His fullness becomes our fullness as he has his way in us. In him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. So we are like putting off sinful nature, otherwise known as the growth in holiness. This isn't, we're on the same topic. This isn't anything new. But it's not just because things are being cut off. It's because things are being put in. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, you who raised him from the dead. Basic scripture, which talks about who he is, what he's done, and always goes back to the cross. Christianity without a cross is not Christianity. Sorry. Like, he identified with death, so in a form, guess what we get to carry? A cross. Every place we go, it's not just an ornament. It's not just a declaration. It's not just something we believe in a corner. It's something that we have to understand is a very reality for our lives because it was a reality for him. As such, it's reality for us. Dill, please go forward. Oh, I'm sorry. We have more scripture. Okay. When you were dead in your sins and your circumcision of your sinful nature, God made us alive with Christ. Amen. Alive with Christ. He forgave us of all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that the that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over the cross. So back to that powers and authorities issue. Because of the cross, those angels, demons in that realm that we don't necessarily see all the time have been disarmed. Disarmed in this context means armless. What's that mean to be armless? That means you have no grip. You have no access to be touched. You can't really, really, really influence, right? Like, you're not that you're gone. You just are untouchable. Like, MC Hammer, can't touch this. Right? So, bad joke, but I had to. All right? So, it doesn't change the fact that they're present. It changed their influence over you. Has been removed. Two words, public spectacle and triumphing over. Public spectacle means a billboard the size of this building saying, yo, it's something that everyone can see from a distance. A public spectacle means something that with your eyes, you couldn't miss it. Triumphing over is a sound. So imagine the biggest, raucous, craziest band, like not jazz band, just those horn band making all kinds of noise on the street. Everybody ever seen Salvation Army band before? Right? They are not quiet. They're not always in tune. They may not always be a bunch of things, but they're trying to make a sound that everybody's going to be able to hear, right? That's, imagine like the biggest, world's largest brass band making all this noise in the street, followed by a 75-foot sign saying, the enemy has been defeated. Between both elements, those powers and authorities can't touch us. That's what the cross did. We don't always buy into that. We think we're subject to them. We think we're at their whim. They're not saying they don't exist. I'm not here to say they don't exist. They are part of the environment around us that are causing issues in our society, in our families, in our world. But they have been disarmed. Their presence is real. I don't mitigate until they're gone. That wouldn't be true. They are part of the environment. But God's using the environment around us with pressure to bring more of Christ in us. But those things have no authority over us because he is the Lord of all. A bunch of scriptures from Colossians to talk about fullness. Colossians 1:19, which talks about the fullness of God dwelling in Christ. 1:25, so about the fullness of the gospel. The word of God, in this case, is the gospel, the message of Christ's atoning, loving, sacrificial death and powerful resurrection. So there's a fullness of that message. That means it's not only are we freed right now, we're freed for ever. We're not just forgiven now, we're forgiven for. We're not just okay now, we're righteous for ever. It's a full message. Colossians 1:28 says, fully mature in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we are called to be fully mature. He is not going to let any of us put it past. Oh, it's okay. You only have a little bit of fruit. A little bit of fruit. Nope. He wants his full inheritance in your lives. Colossians 2:2, full riches of complete understanding. That's future messages. Complete understanding. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be like God. But it means we have an understanding of him, his ways, as it applies to our lives as God's people. We're not going to wake up and be nuclear physicists. Praise the Lord. Right? I like physics, but lots of other people can't stand it. But he's not actually teaching you to become all-knowing. He's actually teaching you to have complete, full, mature understanding of his plan and his purposes, whereby you make different choices with your life that lead to holiness. 2:9 says, for in Christ all the fullness of deity live in bodily form, which we already read. And 2:10 says, in Christ you've been brought to fullness. All right? So it's not, this isn't a partial salvation. Dill. Fullness is a process of producing Christ in us. Fullness occurs in common everyday life. It doesn't just happen in a prayer meeting or worship service. Us gathering here is an expression of our love for Him, our love for one for another, and us enjoying the combination of God's people and God's presence along with God's Word. Okay? But we don't come to church to live in the church service. We are the church. We're not living for the church services. We're not going from one hit to the other. Oh, I said to go back to church. I said to go back to church. I said to go back to church service. Like, that's not what this is about. Your fullness comes from what happens when you're actually not in this building. Because it's in that environment where our coworkers and our family members and our neighbors who may not be disarmed, who may be influenced by powers and principalities and all those things, and they're doing and saying and implying and questioning your character and enticing and tempting, and you're going, not today, Satan. Actually, never Satan. I don't like that not today, Satan thing. I've seen stickers, people say not today, Satan. I'm like, never Satan. I'm like, I'm not going to postpone any of this. Like, never. Because you have been disarmed. We'll always go against the world's ways of thinking. The reality is, as the issue of water, osmosis is a real easy process. It's the way things go naturally. Right? It's always easy for the clean water to filter down into the dirty water and eventually wash the dirty stuff away, right? That's how you wash dishes. Everybody wash dishes before. You get enough clean water, do a little work. Like, eventually the dirty stuff goes. All right. Makes sense. It's a sound principle. It's just not God's principle. He's just doing the opposite. Because His ways are higher than our ways. He just doesn't have any interest in cleaning you the way that the world would want to clean you. Because the world doesn't want you clean. The world can't clean you. It takes time to complete. Embedded in all this is time. Which involves patience and perseverance, because I would love to just wake up tomorrow, woohoo, I look and smell like Jesus. Hallelujah. Because then I can somehow think that my trials will go away. And guess what? We know it's not going to happen. They never go away. And I don't like that part. Because I was raised to believe that God has a good, perfect plan for your life. Right? His thoughts towards you are good. Abundant life. All those things are true. But the fullness doesn't happen on this side. The fullness of all those promises are not solely, completely, and maturely on this side of eternity. Now, that doesn't mean we don't fight for fullness. We don't look for peace. Jesus, I avoid drama. Drama's over there. I'm out. Because I'm not running towards drama. I'm just not going to. You know why I don't need to go toward? Because every place I find myself, I'm already have my own set of trials and tribulations and drama that comes with it. So I'm not gonna go intentionally find, ooh, Jerry Springer. Let me go look at that. Yay, Jerry Springer. Ooh, TMZ. Like, oh my God, like why do you run towards drama? Like you have enough of your own, for God's sake. That you can't avoid. And you won't avoid. So, you don't run towards drama. You don't not say you don't want peace. You don't not want abundance and fullness. It's gonna take time. And the fullness of the kingdom is the fullness of the kingdom. He's coming back, ladies and gentlemen. Wiping every tear away. Making right every wrong. Addressing every degree of social oppression, brokenness, and bondage. In its fullness, in its completion. It's called the fullness of time. The fullness of His kingship will reign. But we're not there yet. So me waiting for some time where I won't have no more troubles? I'm the one that's deceived. I'm looking for something up. Wonder why I'm disappointed. Duh. Not too bright. requires intense pressure. I didn't say how much pressure, but it's not an easy process. Like, you don't have just like, help me just a little rub, a little water through your system. It's not a little massage. This is not a massage. This is not a massage. All right. This is intense. This is intense. And how I know? Because Isaiah says that the Father crushed the Son. No one likes that verse. If he crushed his Son with the weight of sin on the cross, he has a maximum like that. He took the most. He took the full weight of it. Completely. He might apply a little of that pressure on you to get his son into you. He's not against crushing things. He never has been. He's not going to stop. As we think about the water we drink, the process that we go through, think of a bottle of water. Reverse osmosis is a process. It's not easy. It's fruitful. It's productive. It's just not easy. I invite all of you to realize next time you drink a bottle of water and think someplace, somewhere, intense pressure is being used to conform an impure body of water or a small little amount of pure water to become a large reservoir, a depth of pure water that only happens because he uses situations in our lives. Amen. Okay. Team, come join us. I'm going to introduce you to a new song, a song that I think speaks volumes for where we are as individuals and as a corporate body. My invitation for you is to make room for God. All right. Maybe some of you here need to be filled up. We all need to be filled up. But maybe you haven't had God actively pour himself through you. Maybe you need God's presence to fill you afresh, because it's okay to ask for more. Not because he's bad. Not because he wasn't enough. We just leak. Let's be honest. We leak. Right? We're going to worship for a little bit. But if you need a fresh filling, you can come get one. I don't have it. I got my own issues. But the God of all loves filling up small spaces. Amen.